Dodge 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. As President-elect Donald Trump prepares his new White House team, he is eyeing Tesla owner Elon Musk for a new job. ABC's Jonathan Carl explains.
Trump has talked about having the tech billionaire run a new Department of Government Efficiency, pledging to slash $2 trillion from the federal budget. Musk recently said implementing such major spending cuts, quote, necessarily involves some temporary hardship, but it will ensure long-term prosperity.
Sources tell ABC News that Special Counsel Jack Smith is also in talks with the Justice Department about ending both of the cases against Donald Trump. Germany's federal prosecutor's office has arrested an American citizen for allegedly spying for China. The suspect accused of contacting the Chinese government and offering to transmit sensitive information from the U.S. military. Federal Reserve wraps up its two-day meeting today. With inflation getting back under control, the Fed's expected to cut interest rates further. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WBZH News, your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WBZH website at buzzofthenorth.com. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Despite a few hiccups like needing to recount 30,000 ballots in Milwaukee, the Wisconsin Election Commission says Tuesday's election was safe and secure with no major issues reported. On Wednesday, WEC officials reminded residents that the election is technically not over, as the official results still need to be verified and certified through the canvassing process. The numbers residents see now are unofficial results with votes that have been counted but not verified and certified. The deadline for the chairperson to certify the election is December 1st. Tuesday's election saw the highest number of voters in Wisconsin state history. According to the unofficial results, about 3.4 million people cast a ballot in the 2024 presidential race. That's equivalent to about 72.6% of eligible voters in the state, which is also one of the highest voter participation rates in state history. About 30,000 fewer people voted in the Senate race between Senator Tammy Baldwin, who won re-election, and her Republican challenger Eric Hovde. The final official numbers will be released on December 1st. Superior residents voted to approve a referendum allowing the school district to exceed its revenue limits for the next 5 years. The referendum asked Superior residents to pay extra in property taxes for the next 5 years to prevent the district from having to make further cuts. The district has been forced to permanently close the school and lay off over 50 staff members in the last year due to their budget issues. The referendum approves a sliding scale of increases, starting at $2.5 million for the next 2 years and $5.5 million in the final year. The Duluth Police Department is searching for a suspect they say was involved in two violent home invasions in the area. According to law enforcement authorities, the first incident happened on Monday in the Chester Park neighborhood. The second happened on Tuesday in the Congdon neighborhood, just a few miles away. Authorities say they don't have many details about the suspect, except that he is a white man. Duluth Police Chief Mike Sanoa says three people were sent to the hospital with minor injuries after the suspect entered their homes. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
Smith says he wanted to be traded. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. After 5.5 seasons, linebacker Preston Smith was traded from the Packers to the Steelers. Smith telling reporters in Pittsburgh he requested to be traded after Green Bay changed their defense from a 3-4 to a 4-3.
It's just what I've been playing in the last 9 years of my career. Into this past season is what I was comfortable playing in and what I got used to playing in. So, you know, just being back in the system is like, you know, riding that your favorite bike again.
College basketball tonight, the Badgers host the Montana State Bobcats at the Kohl Center. NBA tonight, the Bucks and the Utah Jazz at Fiserv Forum. Chris Middleton, recovering from surgery on both ankles, still not ready to play.
You know, everybody's different. You know, trying to think of someone. LeBron. I saw LeBron's ankle hit the floor, and he kept playing. Well, everybody's different. And Chris has had a lot of injuries and surgical stuff, so it's just not as fast as we thought it would be, and there's nothing wrong with that.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Clouds are going to hang around for a little while this morning, but it should be partly cloudy by late morning and then mostly sunny and a bit breezy this afternoon. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clear 31. Tomorrow, sunshine 53. Saturday, afternoon showers with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
Did you get Norske Nook pie for breakfast? Mr. Buck, I don't see any raspberry cream cheese pie over by you, so point for me.
Good morning, Mr. Buck.
Sometimes you're just incredibly mean.
Can we be happy for the fact that Todd Alba is delivering pies? Don't we have the best coworkers here?
Oh, yeah, great. With you literally rubbing pie in my face.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning, 6 until 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why The Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, who we'll talk movies with, and he'll help make our popcorn pick of the week. Then Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the fun.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Good morning and welcome to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842 or 855-75-CIVIC. Hey, good morning to you, Calvin. How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good, Earl. How are you?
All right, man.
Boy, he sounds kind of rough. It's the day after the day after.
But the world is still here.
Yeah, the sun came up.
Well, but before people ask who is that goomer talking?
Who is that goomer?
Yeah, well, that's my co-host Sandy Williams, who has been, you know, with us every day this week. I'm happy about that as we talk about this election and outcome. And good morning to you, Sandy. How you doing, man?
I'm all right. Like I said, the day after the day after. Yeah, the clouds are clearing. It was a bright morning.
Well, you know, younger people have taken this harder, the outcome. I was talking with Calvin earlier, and before we get into all the things that we're going to be talking about, Calvin represents the young people who are involved in this. And so, Calvin, your thoughts, man, on the outcome of this election. I think it's really important that our community, our people who listen to this show, hear it from a young person's perspective on how you feel about the outcome of the election.
Well, to start, I'm both surprised and not surprised, somehow paradoxically. I'm frustrated. I feel like the Democratic Party and the Republican Party have had two different standards that they've had to uphold for the past 4 years, and the standard for the Republican Party is to just attack the Democratic Party, to not have a platform, and to lie. And apparently calling that out wasn't enough, and that frustrates me for the direction our country is headed in. I'm also frustrated with the Democratic Party. I think Joe Biden had a great presidency, but I think a lot of this could have been avoided if he would not have sought re-election.
Sandy,
well, those are good points. I mean, I think I'm not sure the older people are taking it any less hard, I mean, with less concern than the young people. And it's clear that, however, this victory was broad, okay? And it wasn't necessarily, we were talking about it before the show, Earl, and you had some interesting numbers associated with the total vote, okay, which suggested that not so many people, less people came out to vote, but more of those people who voted bought into sort of the anti-democratic vote. I would say that My takeaway from this thing is that the Republicans ran on an anti-liberal platform, an anti-democratic platform, had very little to say for themselves about what they stood for, and that prevailed. Okay, that was Trump's brand, which was not necessarily, I mean, building himself up with a bunch of hyperbole, but attacking the other side with also a bunch of hyperbole. And the Democrats weren't very good at branding themselves, and so they ended up, I think, being painted with the brand that Donald Trump gave them.
Tony says, not surprised he won. I'm surprised how he won. Every demographic moved his way, but college-educated women, they ran anti-elite.
Well, I mean, the question is, what is elite? I mean, why don't you talked about some numbers. What were the total vote count suggests that this was actually a smaller turnout. So it wasn't like people came running to the polls to vote in numbers that had never been realized before, just the opposite.
You know, Sandy, I decided to look at the numbers. 15 million less Americans voted this time around. 15 million less.
15 million fewer than voted in
2020.
Right.
In 2020, Donald Trump got 74,222,958 votes. In 2020, Joe Biden got 81 million votes. In 2024, Donald Trump got 71 million, 3 million less votes. And Kamala Harris got 67 million.
Right.
So she got 67 million, 14 million less votes than Joe Biden. The question becomes, where did they go, Sandy?
Well, where they didn't go was to the polling booth. And the question is why, okay? And it obviously had a lot to do with a distaste for the selection process that they were facing, and a lack of excitement about going to the polls. And those votes were lost by Democrats. I mean, if you do the numbers, 15 plus million fewer voted. Trump was about under 2 million less.
Right.
And the rest of the people who didn't vote Democratic. So, you know, and like I said, I think the Democrats need to do a lot of self-study on that. What is it that they aren't able to persuade? What is it about themselves that leaves them with a brand that isn't able to? Because I think Harris ran a perfectly good campaign and she was a very viable candidate. It was the Democratic brand that failed. And so I think that's the analysis and the lessons learned from this thing, is that instead of finding an excuse, like, for instance, inflation, and, you know, that she couldn't overcome the inflation and that was the big thorn in the side of folks that caused them to move the other direction. I think if that's the lesson learned from this, that'll be a mistake for the Democrats, because I think what's happened is that they've lost their capacity to deal directly with Tom, Dick, and Mary about the issues that Tom, Dick, and Mary have with that budget, for instance. And therefore, it was undoubtedly Tom, Dick, and Mary of sorts who didn't show up and vote.
You know, Sandy, I think the numbers bear out for those who say, well, you know, Donald Trump was able to himself move all these people towards him because, again, he got less than he did the last time.
Right.
So it's not that the people decided that we're all going to vote for Donald Trump and the Republicans and what they represent. That didn't occur.
No, I mean,
it's the fact that, again, those who had voted Democrat before set this out. We need to ask the question, Sandy. You said clearly a couple of the reasons is the economy. The fact that people are struggling more so now than they have in the past. And so Democrats are being held accountable for that.
Well, I mean, you know, during the Trump administration, 2016 to 2020, is when I started talking about Tom, Dick, and Mary living paycheck to paycheck, and how it was that the stock market wasn't the barometer or the thermometer that people ought to be looking at to see whether prosperity was being realized by Americans. Okay, And I think one of the reasons Trump didn't get reelected was the fact that Tom, Dick, and Mary, the middle class America that lives paycheck to paycheck, didn't appreciate what he described as his booming economy. Okay, so that as even as the incumbent, he didn't get reelected because there was a booming economy, because the booming economy wasn't being shared within the middle class and by the broad numbers of people who vote. So he lost for maybe that same reason in 2020. But I think that there were further reasons. I think this, some of the social issues, the Democrats have a very big tent, and it's a very worthy one, and the Democrats embrace every worthy issue, I think, and because the tent is big, they have represented within the tent all kinds of social issues that they embrace and embrace fully. But that makes them vulnerable then to being attacked for being woke. You know, the whole woke movement was, I think, designed to capture the Americans who were put in outside their comfort zone by some of these issues that were being embraced and promoted by Democrats. And, you know, you could see it in the legislation about who can use what toilet and the totally disproportionate discussion about transgender and gender phobia and the focus on that in ads, the embrace to the extent of even wanting to have people worry about what pronouns they use, I think became a subject of discomfort for a broad range of people that allowed Trump to brand the Democrats in ways that they weren't able to offset.
You know, Sandy, this is going to be, I think, one of our better shows because we're going to touch, put our fingers on some conversations that may make people uncomfortable. But when you get, you know, 14 million less votes, which is what the Democrats got,
right,
you better take a look at everything, and whether it makes you uncomfortable or not. And I would venture to say that this conversation that we're going to have this morning, as always, will include you, the listening audience. We can't do without you. Tony, again, elite could be anyone Trump wanted them to be. That's why it worked. It wasn't a defined group. It was an idea.
Well, the elite has, you know, the populist movements are always run against the elite, and the elite is an undefined enemy. It's the one you can imagine as part of the movement. Much like making America great again isn't a defined objective. It's whatever you can imagine that is the golden place that you want to live. And you know, the fact is that the discussion today on Wall Street and the reaction of Wall Street yesterday included a rapid increase in yields on long-term debt because they're expecting inflation. They're expecting some hardship. Yes, the market, stock market went up, but there's a lot of things in those tea leaves to read.
There's no question. I was listening to conservative talk this morning, as I do every morning, and the very same people who were talking about how great things are going to be if Donald Trump gets to be president, we're saying, hey, there's going to be some Trump's is going to cause inflation, and there's going to be some pain.
Trumpflation. Well, yes, we'll talk about that afterwards.
Yeah. Right. They didn't say that prior to the election, and now here it is a day later, and now they're admitting that there's going to be pain. 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on. We'll come to you. It's Thursday, and it's Thursdays with Sandy Williams, my co-host.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
Christmas, when we were growing up, was different. It was about being hunkered down in your hometown and hearing the same stories Dad always told about Christmases past. While I like those traditions, I wanted something easier. This year, we're all meeting in Alexandria, Minnesota. The kids, their kids, card games, hot chocolate, all the outdoor fun, and oh, we'll still tell stories, but we'll also be making new stories, too.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
The Dom Salvia Show.
I had somebody recently in one of the classes I was teaching saying to me, I don't do politics, Mr. Santa. I don't spend all my time watching MSNBC and reading the opinion columns. I get that.
You might not do politics, but sooner or later, politics is going to do you. Yeah. You got to have some basic level of understanding of what government is about and how it functions and a little bit of the history of it.
You need to do enough.
The Dom Salvia Show. Weekdays from 4 till 6 on the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
He's a comedian, a writer, and an actor, and teaches comedy. One of Wisconsin's own. Dobie Maxwell joins me here on Nightlight. Hey, Dobe.
Pete Schwabba, I am Chico. You're the man. Can you hear me? Is my Amish wood-burning computer plugged into the...
You got Amish. Experience. Oh, you got to update, buddy. I got gas powered and it's working like a charm. So it'll change your life.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
You're listening to WBZH, Hayward's home for the Todd Allbald Show.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams, I'm glad he's here, and so we're going to go.
Well, before the break, we were talking about the warning that was on conservative radio this morning about it is that the new administration, the Trump administration, might bring us Trumpflation. And, you know, we should also listen to Elon Musk, who was for the last week or week and a half saying, hey, we've got some great things we're going to do to the economy. But incidentally, there's going to be hardship in the middle class for us to bear as the price to pay for these revolutionary changes we're going to make. Well, you know, the rich never have hardship. It's the hardship that's experienced is always in the middle class. And what he's talking about, obviously, is the inflation and possible stagflation that results from high tariffs, recompartmentalizing the world, creating potentially a worldwide recession as the result of the impact of some of the policies being announced, and the inflation that would occur from not just broad tariffs, but also a tax reduction that isn't otherwise offset, as well as policies of the Federal Reserve.
I'm so glad you reminded me of that, because that's exactly what this Republican talk show host, who all throughout the campaign was talking about the great things Donald Trump, and then he says, well, really, we got to prepare ourselves because there's going to be inflationary issues. The fact that the tax cuts, the amount of money that's going to, you know, flow in, the very things you had been talking about, they're warning the very people who voted for them, who said we've been facing hardships.
Yeah, it's called managing expectations. Get ready. You don't blame Donald Trump. There's lots of good reasons for this, but there's going to be hardship. And the bond market yesterday recognized this as well, because the yields on long-term bonds, meaning that the bet that Wall Street was making is that interest rates are going to go up in the future as the result of a Trump administration. So, you know, there's people with money in the game who are betting on the very same thing.
And the Federal Reserve is saying that they're saying that the Federal Reserve may now not drop the interest rates anymore because Trump is now the president, and they're fearful that inflation is going to come back.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think they are likely to drop it today or whenever they're meeting shortly and are predicted to drop it. But the whole issue is going to be the extent to which Donald Trump tries to change the levers in Washington and make the Federal Reserve operate at the whim of the president. Because if that happens, we won't have the Federal Reserve there to put the brakes on to keep the inflation from moving from controllable inflation to runaway inflation. And so, you know, it was the Federal Reserve that orchestrated this soft landing that we just had. And they did it very successfully. But they did it subject to all the criticism that the politicians would provide for high interest rates in a temporary time period.
Let's go to Wayne from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Wayne. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Well, you were talking about inflation. And I think the biggest cause of the inflation has been all the spending that was done for, well, mostly for the COVID relief and so on. And we simply cannot continue to spend dollars we don't have because we're making them, pulling it, you know, we're printing money without anything to back it. And that is that people wonder why they have inflation. Well, it's as simple as watering down the soup. You don't have any more soup. You just have more water when you create money without anything to back it. And that's a big problem here is that the Democrats seem to think that they can spend money. And I would argue they spend money to buy votes.
Well, let me just interrupt you on one thing, just to do fact checking. I can get you the numbers, but I can demonstrate to you that the Republican presidents have run bigger deficits than the Democratic presidents have for the last 40 years, and the total isn't even close. So it isn't, you know, don't look to the Republicans to be the ones that will be more responsible with respect to running lower deficits. They run larger deficits. And, you know, in fact, it was during the Iraq War in the early 2000s that George Bush II was and John McCain called him on it, said, look, you're going to reduce taxes in the midst of a war. This is the very first time in American history that anybody's ever done that. And they did it. And they moved from the surpluses of William Clinton's period to massive deficits. And the fact is that, you know, the culprits in Washington are bipartisan with respect to fiscal discipline. But if you want to pin the tail on a donkey, you better pin it on an elephant.
Yeah, both parties are guilty of that. There's no argument there.
You wanted to describe the Democrat. You were trying to make it a partisan issue. I'm simply saying this is a bipartisan issue. But if you want to pin the tail on a culprit, it better be an elephant.
Well, I guess in recent history, we're speaking of the COVID and the COVID relief that was so much of that was unnecessary.
No, that was necessary.
That was
necessary.
The question of whether it was necessary or not. I don't know what the deficits would have been if the recession would have occurred that the expenditures were made to avoid. But, you know, recessions result in deficits as well.
Thank you very much for the call, sir. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams is here. We'll be right back.
The Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly. Wisconsin Senator Tammy Baldwin has officially won a third term in Washington. Senator Baldwin declared victory early Wednesday, while results showed she had a lead of less than 1%, which could lead to a recount. After the race was called by the Associated Press, Republican challenger Eric Hovde did not concede or say if he would be requesting a recount within the 1% margin. In narrowly winning re-election, Senator Baldwin kept a critical Senate seat for Democrats, while former President Trump won the state. Wisconsin residents voted to pass a constitutional amendment stating that only United States citizens can vote in elections. The amendment slightly changes the language used in current law, making it only a United States citizen instead of every United States citizen. Republicans across the country have pushed similar measures to prevent non-citizens from voting, which is already illegal. A handful of municipalities across the country allow non-citizens to vote in some local elections, like a school board. None are in Wisconsin. A Superior man has been arrested in connection to multiple attempted carjackings, one of which involved a young child. According to law enforcement authorities, 37-year-old Michael Thompson is accused of attacking the owner of a car in the Tower Avenue and North 28th Street area last week and trying to take their keys with their child in the car. Officials say two bystanders saw the incident and stepped in until police arrived. Thompson was treated for injuries he sustained during the incident and was taken to jail. He's due in court next week. The city of Ashland will finally receive state funding for a boat launch project after applying for the program multiple times. After the city and other municipalities' applications were rejected for the program, Governor Tony Evers sued lawmakers to force the release of the funding. When the state Supreme Court ruled efforts to block the conservation projects were unconstitutional, Ashland applied again and received about $1 million from the Department of Natural Resources to construct an ADA-compliant deep-water boat launch at Crerar Park. For 910 WBZH News, I'm James Kelly.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. If you're looking for some post-election escapism, check out Apple TV's Slow Horses. The show follows a bunch of ragtag disgraced MI5 operatives led by Gary Oldman. Oldman is a disgusting, disheveled, gaseous curmudgeon, but a very nuanced character. I'm late to the party myself, having just gotten halfway through season one, but it is very entertaining, and I love when I find a show where I have multiple seasons ahead of me for some serious TV binge-watching. Over the last few years, people have been talking about films as content. That's a filthy word. It's not content, it's bleeping work. Those are the words of Paul Mescal, the star of Gladiator 2. Mescal says he does not like when the artistry of good cinema and movie making, which takes time and effort and lots of patience, is compared to an Instagram post. I don't totally disagree, but you can judge for yourself as Gladiator 2 opens November 15th. Unlike with social media content, you will need an attention span. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your hometown radio, refreshed. Keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media Network.
Clouds are going to hang around for a little while this morning, but it should be partly cloudy by late morning and then mostly sunny and a bit breezy this afternoon. Our high today, 46. Tonight, clear 31. Tomorrow, sunshine 53. Saturday, afternoon showers with a high of 54. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Right now, it's 39.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
The right wing nut pastor named Joel Webbin.
What God's word says is be quiet.
I think the 19th Amendment should be repealed.
Hashtag me too. All you have to do is publicly execute a few women who have lied.
What? Let's dissuade women from reporting rapes by putting them to death.
Only a few women. Preferably the really loud ones.
With hey, makeup. Do I rate?
You absolutely. I was going to get there.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time as we continue to analyze the election that was and look ahead to the weekend to get our minds off of things. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
they weren't necessarily. The Eye of the Tiger.
Yep.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams is here. And Sandy, the music.
Well, it's sort of about, this music today is about being indomitable.
And, okay.
Keep at it.
All right. Yeah. So here's a text message before we go to the phone lines. I'm feeling that trying to make sense out of nonsense is senseless. If less people came out to vote, I conclude people are exhausted by the double standards, the lies and games played by our leaders, the constant beating up of American people by the elite, and pessimism of the average citizen, all equals less turnout. Let's go to Mike from Kenosha. Good morning to you, Mike. Thank you very much for the call. You say what?
Good morning. What a beautiful morning, by the way.
All of them are beautiful, Mike.
Yeah. that text you just read was spot on. America is wore out. This has been going on. This GOP messaging has been going on for decades. It's matured. It has grown roots. It has metastasized across our nation. For sure. And the interesting thing, a couple points real quick. You know, this RFK Musk being in charge of vital parts of the U.S. economy, that we heard over the last few days. My question is, why didn't we hear about that a year ago or 6 months ago? So we could vet that. We could talk about that. I mean, to put a couple parts of our economy in the hands of a couple people doesn't make any sense. It's anti-democracy. It doesn't make sense. You know, that's something Congress is supposed to do. You know, so again, the messaging, we have lost the messaging battle. You know, even the caller before the break, you know, was talking about, you know, the left is responsible for the debts and everything else, when again, the facts, when confronted, reveals a different reality. So what we've lost to messaging because we didn't know how to respond to the fire hose volume of misinformation that was being shot out to the from the media to we the people nonstop. And if we can't bring truth to power as the core, the foundation of our messaging, all we're going to do is spin around in circles. This is so important, but yet, you know, the economic pressures that most people are feeling that are due to trickle down policies, the economy is rocking. It's just not being divvied up correctly. When did you see any conversations or Steve Bernanke or whatever his name is chart on true economics in impact of trickle down? We just need the corporates and the elites to pay their fair share, and most of our economic domestic economic troubles go away.
Hey, Mike, I can't disagree with anything you had to say. Thank you very much for the call.
Well, my reaction is that the problem with Democratic messaging is that it's so broad with so many messages, and quite frankly, I think to their credit, it's been premised on truth, and so that it's not capable of being imagined or simply using broad brush hyperbole, and so is that sort of tying themselves one arm behind their back when the opposition is unfettered by truth. And also has messaging which is not anything informative to the American public, but rather is combative. So I mean, the messaging from the Republican Party, they keep secret their main policies, meaning tax reductions. And what they do is they have an attack on
the liberal, on the elite. I mean, it has resulted in a populist movement, and the genie's out of the bottle with respect to the populist movement. The question is, how long can it endure when the movement will not be rewarded? Okay, the people are not going to be rewarded by the results of the populist movement, because the plans for the Trump White House are not designed to reward the people.
Let's go to Chad from Greenfield. Good morning to you, Chad. You say what?
How's it going, guys? Great day today. Beautiful day today. I got two questions for you guys I'd really like your answers on. But first of all, I don't think Calvin really represents all the youth. I know 10 people that just were able to vote for the first time. They all voted for President Trump. They're ecstatic. And playing Don't Stop Believing is great, because I never stopped believing in President Trump. I called on Election Day. I called the blowout. I called the gambling. You guys kind of laughed at me, dismissed it, but it came true. But my two questions are, number one, and you guys hit on it in the beginning, Joe Biden allegedly got 81 million votes. Kamala Harris just under 68 million right now. How could she lose 13 million votes? Either Joe Biden, as people speculated, never did get the 81 million votes, or Kamala Harris is just a terrible...
Well, Chad, look, man, that's ridiculous, man.
Well, that's a form of deductive logic, but it isn't consistent with facts, right? So there was a great deal of inquiry about the votes. The turnout was a record turnout, and the vote fluctuation is dramatic. In the off years, for instance, the number for 2022, the number of votes in 2022 was materially less.
Right.
And the vote count has been materially different depending on the enthusiasm about the campaigns. I believe that the 2016 turnout total was less than the 2008 turnout that elected Barack Obama. I mean, I'm just saying,
yes,
you can't just take numbers and decide that it should have been the same. And that was kind of the rationale Donald Trump provided, which was, how can there be that many more votes? Well, it turns out there were.
But I would also say to Chad, to say that Kamala Harris had something to do with it, and the fact that Donald Trump and people bought into Donald Trump, again, he got less votes than he got 4 years ago. So let's stop talking like all these people switched over to Donald Trump. That's not the case. He was able to carry the people who supported him 4 years ago. He didn't get any new voters.
Well, no, I do think the Democrats have, because I think the turnout was materially less. I think we'll find out that the headcount turnouts in the states that mattered, the battleground states, was not down as much as it was nationally. And so I think the lessons learned from the Democrats needs to include the fact that Donald Trump did get a higher percentage in terms of the voters of younger voters, male voters, black and brown voters.
But he also lost more suburban white voters,
yes,
than he had in the past, because his final numbers were less than what he had, 4 years prior. So, Chad, your synopsis is that all of these people decided that Donald Trump and Republican politics is the way to go. That's what you're basically saying, right?
Well, I have one more question, but I mean, obviously the numbers are messed up. So either Kamala is a terrible candidate. She did not improve in one county in the whole country. She
had nothing nothing to do with her.
Well, I'm not sure that you can testify about the whole country. You probably were listening to the show. She didn't do better in counties in Milwaukee, in Wisconsin, and that might be true.
And a lot of this had to do with Democrats and people who voted Democrat who didn't vote this time around. A lot of it had to do with what's going on in Gaza, the war. Many people chose not to vote for that reason. And as Sandy stated earlier, there were people who had other reasons that they didn't vote. Thank you very much for the call. Let's go to Tom from L.A. Good morning to you, Tom. You say what?
Can we please talk about the real elephant in the room?
What is that, Tom?
Money in politics.
Well, you're not going to get that out.
If we keep saying we're not going to get it out, we're not going to
Okay,
get it
out. Tom, how do you get it out?
You get a groundswell of people to start realizing that the problem is money and politics.
People
to realize that there are Supreme Court cases that made it for legal bribery in this country.
Hold on. There's no question that this election was $16 billion. $16 billion. There are seven, where is it at? 10 different individuals who contributed $600 million or more. There's no question that money in politics is an issue on both sides of the equation. Well, in the state of Wisconsin, Democrats outspent Republicans 2-1.
Well, and I'm sure they outspent them nationally, too. I mean, I think there are two ways to look at the money in politics. I think the lethargy and the indifference of the public has a lot to do with money in politics because politicians are no longer delivering to Tom, Dick, and Mary what they want and need because politicians are responsive to big money and they aren't being responsive to Tom, Dick, and Mary. So I definitely agree with Tom in that regard that money in politics has sapped
the political process.
But if you look at the presidential campaign, more money was spent on Democrats than Republicans, and it didn't prevail. And so, you know, there's lessons to be learned here. There is a broad lesson that we all ought to learn, though, and that is that we need to figure out a way to try and move money out of being central to Washington, D.C.
Well, but to say that money in politics, as if we're not all aware of that, we're aware of those things. Changing it is more than a notion. It's there. The American people have certain powers and other powers they don't have. And so politicians on both sides of the equation understand the power of that money. And so do lobbyists. And so the American people, for the most part, you know, aren't really as aware as they should be about the power they may possess to change it. But it's more than a notion to make it happen. Go ahead, Tom.
Earl, all I'm saying is that people, for some reason, are walking around talking about trans issues, talking about every commercial that was on the TV, which was about dividing and conquering the majority of the public. And there's one thing, and I don't care, I'm talking to the Democrats also. Everyone needs to get the money out of politics because you know what? If I was running for office, I'd say, yeah, I'm taking big money. But next day I would be saying, we here in Congress need to get all this money out of politics. You can't just, Democrats can't give up all the money because of the fact that if they do, they'll lose. So therefore, they're not going to give it up. But you know what? Citizens United, when that came into play, and I know most people in America don't know what Citizens United is. But Citizens United, when that came into play, put money on steroids. We have now Elon Musk. We now have Ulines. We now have Widow Hendricks. We now have...
Hey, Tom, I just talked about 10 different individuals, donors, who contributed over $600 million, 7% of the overall amount of money that came in. There's no question that money in politics is a major issue. No.
Change until that happens, because right now we have an oligarchical government moving to an authoritarian dictatorship. The people that are in control now are the oligarchs, and they've actually used their money to make people believe that everybody is the enemy, that is Dick, Mary, and Tom.
All right. Tom, thank you very much for the call. 855 752-4842. You can join the conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Up North News Radio.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes, I'll come back from a concert with my kid or a dinner with my husband, and I'll think, man, it would be nice to find something to do that doesn't cost so gosh darn much. Today, I have a tip for something to fill your time and your heart, but not drain your wallet. Volunteering. Now hear me out. There's been a lot of research on this. It shows that volunteering can help you feel less stressed, less down, less worried. You can do it with your church or food bank. You can look for events that align with your interests. We love a Ren Fair and a beer festival over here. Volunteering can build social connections. It helps people feel less lonely, and that can keep you healthier and living longer. And when you volunteer, your brain releases all these great chemicals like serotonin or dopamine, things that just make you feel good. For more feel-good money tips, check out my videos at Work Money Media on YouTube. This is Carrie Joy saying take good care.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow.
There are some words that only get used in association with a phrase or another word. Nobody ever uses the word tribulation. You talk about the trials and tribulations. Another one would be vim. Nobody uses vim unless you're talking about vim and vigor. I'm going to make that list of words that you never hear unless it's in that particular phrase.
Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday morning 6 until 8 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
This is the Buzz of the North, 910 AM WBZH.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842, 855-752-4842. It's Thursday, and Sandy Williams is here. Let's go right back to the phone lines. Let's go to Gary from Sussex. Good morning to you, Gary. You say what?
Well, Earl, did you remember, was that about a week ago, that I said that Donald Trump was going to end up winning in a landslide, and you laughed at me. Do you remember that?
Okay, so what
is this an I told you so call?
No, I hate people that told you so.
Well, there you go.
They're saying, no, Sandy, you took it wrong. I don't like people like that. But the point that I'm making is that, and how I look at it as a mega conservative, when people call the guy, my guy, Donald Trump, dictator, Hitler, that's what I hear is that they're calling me and every other MAGA Hitler and Nazis and everything else. And that just ticked us all off. Now, as far as that,
the messaging didn't work, all right, obviously, in terms of the Democratic messaging. The warnings about, I think the warnings about what Donald Trump was proposing might well be apropos, whether it constitutes Hitler or not. The policies that he's proposing are very controversial, and the proof will be in the pudding, Gary. I'll be interested in if he proceeds with the things that it looks like he might proceed with. I'll be very interested in the conversation with you 2 years from now as to how you feel about it. Okay, but I guess the question about how to characterize what it is that's being proposed. There's no question that what is being proposed is a far more authoritarian form of American government.
You know, Gary, when you talk about it ticked you guys off, and so you won because you were ticked off. No, you won because Donald Trump was able to just about return the people who supported him in 2020. And Democrats weren't able to do the same. So, you know, that was at the root of it.
One of your other callers said that he didn't win any counties. Well, I was watching MSNBC last night, and they showed a map. There wasn't one county in the entire United States that she gained from points. And
But Gary, none of that, again, it's the fact that 15, 14 million less people came out to vote. They didn't. Donald Trump's numbers were down as well, Gary. He didn't, you know. Well, so less people came out to vote, man.
Well, look, but there's no question that based on the people who did come out to vote, Donald Trump did very well, okay? And, you know, that's the fact.
He did less than what he did 4 years ago.
I know. But in terms of the relative vote, he did well, and the Democrats will do well to observe the outcome and go through a lessons learned process, because there are lessons to be learned, because the outcome of the race was that the Democrats lost.
Right.
They lost the national plurality, and they lost across the board in all of the important states and many of the less important states. And so, you know, the trend wasn't good. Now, the question is, what was the trend? And much of that trend involved lethargy and on the part of the Democratic votes, okay? And why didn't they come out? And what was it about the messaging they were hearing and the issues they were using as the basis for determining whether they come out or not?
It's like I have always told you guys, is you're not going to win an election because you hate the other guy that bad. You got to get the people to vote.
Well, Gary, it wasn't that simplistic, my friend.
Well, let me just say this, though, Gary, if you're going to analyze messaging, Donald Trump's messaging was not a positive message. Donald Trump's messaging was 100%.
Horrible.
No, but it was 100% negative about the people he was running against. He wasn't necessarily constantly vilifying the individual, although he definitely vilified Harris in every way, low IQ, all kinds of very negative things. But the message was 100% vilifying liberals. Okay. Can you tell me other than tariffs and a tax reduction, what it is that Donald Trump talked about repeatedly on the campaign trail that were the policies that he was going to implement that were the ones that persuaded the American public?
Yeah.
No,
I would probably say no. Drill, 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 baby.
Well,
that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
We've drilled more right now, than we've ever done in the history of our country.
Yeah.
So come on. All right. Thank you very much for the call. 855-752-4842. You know, it's Thursday, and my co-host Sandy Williams is here. Hang on, guys.
You're listening to The Buzz of the North, WBZH, Hayward's home for Matt and Air on Air.
Pat Kreitlow.
Friday, we start the first weekend without a Packer game in a while, but also the first weekend without political ads in a long time, plus Brittany Merlot's weekend forecast.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
Lena Bloom for The Bail Project.
Imagine you're stuck in a jail cell and you can't afford bail and someone offers you a way out. Just plead guilty and you can go home and kiss your kids goodnight. What do you do? What thousands have. You plead guilty whether you are or not. Cash bail makes poverty a crime. That's why the Bail Project helps those who can't afford it while fighting to end cash bail. Because freedom should be free.
Brought to you by the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. This is the Buzz of the North.
WBZH 910 AM, W245 CT Hayward.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.